Yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Big Wavy Roy Johnson here.
Hello everyone, this is the interview queen, Alicia Tu.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis.
This is the professional Nathan Crew.
This is Veggie.
This is the Callahan Death Machine in withdrawal, and the face of Impact Wrestling, Sammy Callahan.
The one and only shot with Thunder Willie Mack.
This is Shreddy Breck, a.k.a. Mr. Clangin' and Bangin'.
And you're listening to...
You are listening to...
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious. Hey, yeah.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp. I'm delighted to be joined by the cult classic, Nick Davey.
Good evening.
Your girlfriend's favourite podcaster, Lance Rivera.
Woo, hello.
And Grapple Arcade's Mark Fox.
Good morning.
How are you doing this evening, lads?
Nice.
Yeah, very
bad,
well.
Another week of lockdown. Another week of lockdown. We're still surviving, not gone crazy yet.
It's a norm. It's a new norm.
It's the new norm. No, I've been doing all right. Still just ticking by, doing the what I've been saying for the last 4 weeks, doing a bit of running, watching a lot of wrestling, watching a lot of football. And as I keep saying, ask me again in 2 weeks' time to see what I say. And every time I'm still doing all right. But at least there's a bit more positive news, isn't there? The pass and the peak and what have you. So we're getting there.
Yeah.
I've resorted to starting to do seminars with my dogs. I've been trying to teach them how to lock up.
I've spent far too much money on eBay and need to ban myself.
Same. So have I.
Yeah. the amount of wrestling merchandise. Like, I'm an idiot. Like, this morning I was opening up a package. I've had, on average, two packages a day for the last 2 weeks. Ooh. And it's getting silly. And today I was opening a package and I wasn't even all the way through the bubble wrap. And I was also simultaneously looking on eBay for new stuff. That's how bad it is.
It easily happens.
What's the biggest thing you've got? What's the most expensive thing you've dropped money on while in lockdown?
Probably Rick Martel Hasbro Minton card.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Now, how
much does that set you back?
It wasn't stupid money, but it was stupid money if you don't collect them. Yeah, about including postage, about 80 quid. But then it's when there's several things a day, it's just getting silly, you know.
We bought you a Martell Hasbro figure when you came to Liverpool.
You did, yeah.
So, five.
The mint on card one. I've been after it for a long time, to be fair. And I just pulled the trigger the other day, and it was a nice enough one. It was going for a reasonable price, to be fair, for us. Because bloody hell, man! Thanks, Zack Ryder, by the way, you bugger. The bloody price of collectible Hasbro figures has shot up over the last couple of years since he's been doing videos about them. And it's and I know there's a couple of the Hasbro collector lads who I chat with, who listen to our show, who will be nodding their heads as they listen now going, yeah, everything's a bloody fortune. I bought some Yokozuna pieces, including a SummerSlam signed poster by Yokozuna. Oh, wow. So I'm happy with that. And I shouldn't be buying anything else, but yeah, I have. I can't afford any of it.
Today?
What have I bought today?
Yeah.
What haven't I bought today? No, what have I bought today? Oh, God. I thought I wasn't going to be rambling on. Watch out where this is you want, Chris.
This is my fault. I'm just interested.
This is how ridiculous it gets. An empty box. You know when you're in a shop and you see all the stickers and cards in a box on the shelf?
Yeah.
Like a cardboard box.
I bought another empty cardboard box with no stickers or cards in it today from 1990. I've got about five of them now of different sticker and card lines. But then I buy the sealed packs of stickers and put them back in said boxes and put them on a shelf so it looks like a shop display counter. There's obviously something lacking in my life.
I've got
a wonderful wife and daughter, so I don't know what it is. Just buying shit.
Shopaholic, is that what they call it?
Dickhead.
I thought I was buying I thought I was bad buying my pop vinyls and having no room to put them and just putting them randomly on shelves. But you're out here buying empty boxes.
I'm buying staff lanyards from WWF events in 1994.
You're hardcore, man. I can't believe it.
Nonsense.
I thought it was bad when I looked at replica belts and was like, "Oh, should I get one of these?" And like talking to my mates in the group chat, going, "Do you think I should drop this kind of money on this?" But you're going, "Yeah, I'm going to drop this kind of money on an empty box."
Well, I will say it's not all ridiculous money, by the way. Like some of it, if you do a lot of digging, you can find stuff for cheap. I'll send you a picture of a staff like all access areas lanyard that I bought because I just think they look cool. And I got this from some people are selling for stupid money, but I managed to find this because of the keywords that you search for. I managed to find this for a fiver.
I'll share
in the group chat. But yeah.
Do you reckon if you go to a live event now and just rock up with one of them, they'll just let you in?
Unfortunately, it's got the WWF logo on, and 1998, and 1995, and 1996 on them. So
maybe not then.
but I might struggle.
It might be a bit of a giveaway.
Are you ever starting that video series back at the pole where you put the stickers in the app?
Oh, we'll have to pick that one back up, won't we? We've recorded 7 episodes and we've uploaded 3 of them. One of them's got 1,000 views.
Yeah.
This is Bill Bain, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Right, so Money in the Bank cash-ins are some of the most exciting moments in WWE history, and we've ranked our top 3. So, number 3, we have, I think, it's probably the most infamous sign if Cena wins We Riot from ECW One Night Stand in 2006. So, in fact, RVD's cash-in story was quite unique because he's the first one to announce when he was going to cash in. So, it was RVD cashing in on John Cena and winning the title from him is our number 3.
Yeah, I love RVD, and it's one of the main cash-ins I remember.
Great atmosphere, wasn't it, that night in the ballroom? I think as well, I still prefer, if we're going to compare that match with the CM Punk match, I think in terms of atmosphere, that was probably better. But in terms of, and I think also in terms of a match quality, the Punk match was better. But I think with this thing, it again proves that whilst the Cena RVD match wasn't the greatest, the atmosphere just made it probably upped it 2 stars, I'd say, just based on the atmosphere. And I think we've had this just mentioned on the show before, if you can get that sort of atmosphere, wrestling would just be 20 times better than it actually is. If you get that atmosphere for every single wrestling match, every single show that's on TV,
it changes
everything. It really does. And that crowd were absolutely superb that night. They made the pay-per-view a much watch because overall time booking at the time, the booking was pretty poor. 2006 wasn't a great year, both in terms of booking and what have you. But
the One Night Stand in 2005 is a lot better than 2006.
Yeah, spot on.
I really enjoyed 2006, mainly because through my pure nostalgic goggles of being a 7-year-old, sat for the first time watching it on Sky, like one of the first pay-per-views I watched live. I remember that crowd and thinking, oh my God. I also remember sitting there thinking, why aren't they booing John Cena? I'm just not understanding because I was 7 years old.
You're right though, because that's great that there was a crowd that was so passionate about doing it. Like when is it, like usually as well, if like it's a night after WrestleMania, you usually get like them sort of taking the fun out of it with the commentators sort of tell you about 20 times on the show that, oh yeah, it's a great crowd because they usually cheer the guys that don't. So they usually cheer the guys they normally boo, and they boo the guys they normally cheer because they're all enjoying themselves from WrestleMania week.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed the fact that they just went along with it because if you're watching football, like, if you see Man United playing away at City or whatever, the commentators aren't going to go, oh, well, they're having a laugh, aren't they? They're booing them. No, this is important. This actually means something. This is normal. This is what we come to see. They're passionate. It's normal. You shouldn't have to talk about it. You just have to experience it, like show, don't tell kind of thing. And as I've got older, I will never forget the man who caught the John Cena shirt and stuffed it down his stuffed it down his pants, lifted it up and threw it back at him, and then even the security guard turning around and flipping him the bird.
Yeah,
it was a great cash in and just a great moment for RVD. Again, it was another, you obviously would give me all night talk about missed opportunities, but I mean, what happened, they say what happened next, the rest is history. I don't really want to talk about what happened next because it just went completely down the toilet, didn't it? But great night, great moment.
Yeah, and then our number two happened during WrestleMania 31 main event between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, when Seth Rollins arrived on the ramp, belted it to the ring, and made WrestleMania history and Money in the Bank history when he was the first superstar to cash in during a WrestleMania main event, making it a triple threat match. I remember being at the time going, I'm not quite sure how this works because it's during a match. I was thinking, does Reigns go out the match now and he started a new match?
I remember being so excited when I saw this. I was watching it live in my room on my TV and actually screaming and remembering my dad across the way screaming, shut the fuck up. Because I was going, oh my God!
No, it was similar reactions as well. But I think what was so great about this, and I want to give Lesnar and Reigns credit as well, because that match at WrestleMania 31 was actually a lot better than people sort of were. I think it had such a negative build-up. People going, well, why is Reigns in this match after the whole Royal Rumble debacle?
And they kind of booked themselves into a corner, because
Nobody
wanted Brock to be the champion, but nobody wanted Reigns to be the champion. So.
Well, I think at the time as well, it was when Brock's contract was up in the air, and I think they actually announced it like on like WWE.com that he signed a new deal the week before. You actually get like sort of a notification. I think it was all over ESPN and what have you that Lesnar signed a new 3-year deal sort of thing.
Yeah, I remember that,
The match itself was fantastic, I thought. So there was a lot of negative sort of talk going into it, and rightfully so, but the match completely went through, completely delivered. I thought it was fantastic. An actual match I'd recommend going back and watch on the network as well. And then it was a Seth cashing that no one saw coming. I think everyone had it in their minds that Reigns was winning or Lesnar was winning, one of the two. And I think everyone completely even thought, oh, actually, we could get a cash in. Or certainly not during the match, because it was the first time it ever happened. So
he'd lost earlier in the show as well, so you kind of just forgot about Seth. He's lost to Randy Orton. And then it's like, oh, he's
one of the best
now.
Finishes in the WrestleMania history with that RKO.
Yes.
Great pay-per-view now as well, I think about it, but it was a great great cash in, and as I say, it was added to the excitement of what was a good match. So I think we talk about poor booking, but this was excellent booking throughout the match and certainly at the end of the match.
To touch on how good that match was, I remember when I was younger I just wasn't that excited for it, but I remember sitting there watching the match and thinking, oh my God, this is amazing, because I was so invested by the end of that Roman Reigns Lesnar match, thinking, I want a winner here. I want someone to win. I'm so excited. And then Seth's music hit, and I was like, wait, what? And I remember going into college the next day, and one of my friends
the
at college
of the century.
Wrestling as well. Yeah, and just all we were talking about. My friend at college was such a big Seth Rollins fan as well. He had his hair dyed like Seth Rollins. And like I was wrestling at the time. I'd started wrestling in you, and I was like, mate, I think you've taken this too far. I'm the one wrestling, and I'm looking at him going, you've taken this too far, Chief.
Heist of the century, and it was the heist of the century. The commentary was good for that as well. The heist of the century. Then JBL was saying the future is now. So no, that those little touches helped as well.
And that really iconic shot from the low angle of Seth holding the title up and the fireworks going off behind him and the big HD play button in the background.
Yeah.
Spinning the spin of the throat, obviously swinging the bell around.
Yeah.
That's oh, of course,
His little gimmick as well, the swinging the bell around, which was fantastic.
The often forgotten Ultimate Warrior swing. That's what I always call it, because I remember the first person seen swinging a belt around was the Ultimate Warrior and thinking, that's sick. I want to do that. And anytime I have won a belt, I've often gone into my house where nobody is and will swing the belt around above my head. Because I remember like being dead young and thinking, Ultimate Warrior can do it. I'll do it.
Yeah. All right, then our number one is, so the Raw after Mania is usually like the biggest night of the year, and it's full of great moments, but when you heard "I'm Here to Show the World" hit and the fans exploded, it turned into like one of the best episodes in Raw history. So Ziggler had tried a couple of times to cash in, but when he saw a injured Alberto Del Rio after a handicap match against Swagger and Seb Coulter.
Yeah,
it was a rematch from the night before.
Yes, I think came as down. Well,
so I was going to say, one thing that gets forgotten about here a lot is Del Rio was a face at the time.
Yes.
Yeah, because they did the double turn later when Ziggler dropped the title.
Exactly. Double turn was done. The double turn, I think, you don't really see that a lot these days, a double turn, but that was done superbly well with a double turn where they actually managed it.
See, he lost the title. He had to give up the title, didn't he? He didn't get a concussion now to give the title up.
He got a concussion and dropped it when he came back at Extreme Rules. It's Payback when CM Punk came back.
That's right,
I remember looking back on it now, I've often thought that Dolph Ziggler should have been what Seth Rollins did, because the crowd all through the night after that tag match, after he lost, were chanting, "We want Ziggler." So, poor Del Rio's in the ring celebrating that he's just retained his title, and all you hear from the crowd sitting in the freezing cold is, "We want Ziggler." I remember it on the Raw as well. I remember watching it. I came home from
they lost their minds.
Yeah, I remember being in high school.
I think it was
like
better on Raw. You get a better pop sometimes on the Raw, because obviously you get the closed, obviously the roof and stuff. So
the noise just got trapped.
Exactly, and it was superb, wasn't it? I mean, just the reaction, the passion, we talk about passion, that this really was a passionate cheer when Ziggler came out. And I think as well, 2012 rubbed people up in the wrong way, that the fact that they were so heavy on trying to, they should have really pushed it. I think I've got a feeling in 2012, there's a lot of suspensions happening left, right and centre, and they just still never pulled the trigger on Ziggler. And I think we saw about Sheamus versus Del Rio had a feud going on for about 10 months, I think, that year. So whilst you could argue it was a bit late and they should have done it a lot sooner in the main event, it was worth the wait just for that pop alone, and my favourite cash for sure.
Yeah, I still remember watching it for the first time. And like just the sound of the crowd. I can't remember who the interview was with, but I think it might be Michael Cole or Jim Ross, and they said it is probably one of the loudest reactions I have ever heard in a stadium before, in an arena. And that's coming from two people who were around when Steve Austin and The Rock were at the peak of their popularity, and them going, "Yeah, it was probably one of the loudest reactions I have ever heard." I've always thought, does that not just tell you how over that man was when he cashed in?
Just
even me in my front room watching it thinking, "Oh my god," and like actually jumping out of my seat.
I'm here to show the world, I'm here to show the world.
Come on.
Mark, are you still here?
No, I am here. Yeah. I haven't got a huge amount to. I haven't got a huge amount to really add, so I thought I'd let you guys go for it rather than me add too much time onto it.
That's cool.
All right. Yeah, I didn't want to say, I didn't want to break this flow of the conversation.
It's just my incoherent rambling, to be fair, about being at school. Two times I've gone, "Oh yeah, I was at college, I was at school."
I'm glad someone else is doing it, not just me. Usually I get shouted at by people in other chats and stuff, and I'm like, "Oh yeah," and then I'm like, "Oh, I was at school then." Like, can you stop talking about how effing young you are?
This is Pyro, and I'm telling you that you need to go and listen to Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. It is the place to find out what everyone's thinking and what everyone's doing. It is the thing to listen to if you want to keep wrestling on top of your mind.
Speaking of very, very quickly, have you seen that fucking Scott Hall's been kicked off Twitter today?
Oh, is that kicking off on Session
Mark? I saw that unfold and I was like, what the fuck's he on about, the dafty? Like, what's he playing at? And then, I mean, like, let's not be like, you know, set like fucking Martinez absolutely mid, just sort of pressing buttons, and she either befriends people or presses the buttons. It's brilliant just to see, because she's not doing anything nastily. It's just that they don't get her, so then they go on the defensive and end up being dicks towards her. But everything she did with New Jack was hilarious. Everything she did with Virgil was hilarious. Everything she's been doing with Cena forever was hilarious.
It's great.
That thing that she posted with Cena, did you see that thing where she said, "I'm going to tell my kids that this man with the picture is their daddy, and that's why they don't see him"? Yeah, that was fucking excellent.
My aspirations as a wrestler is to get to the level where I have Martina tweeting at me.
She's fucking
That's
sound.
How you know you've made it.
I was having a bit natty with her not long back about when last time I saw her up in Newcastle was at a North show we were doing with them. And North Wrestling show, and she was there, and I've forgotten who she was against, but all match she was randomly, like, must have happened 6 or 7 times in the match. Like, on the entrance way down, she started grinding on this old granddad who was randomly there, and his wife was with him, and she wasn't happy at all. His wife, this old biddy, wasn't happy, right? So all the way through the match, Martini just randomly kept getting out of the match, randomly, and kept dropping in front of him, like, looking brilliant, like, just grinding on the scadgy, and then this the granny was going nuts, like.
I really want a match with her, because I think my gimmick would end up going great with hers, because I think it'd be a really good story.
It'd be
brilliant. Tell.
It'd be excellent.
I proper want a match with her. I've always.
She's
said
lovely,
that.
You know. She's fucking sound as out.
I'm just dropping hints now. Just like, you know, people. You know, oh, you run shows. Go on.
Don't know about that.
If you can run a show,
I might be able to get you a game on fucking No Mercy with her or something.
There we go. There we go. That's enough. I'll play No Mercy. I've never played it before in my life. I'm far too young, but I'll learn.
I didn't even realise she was back in the UK. I thought she was still over in.
She's in Ring of Honor at the moment.
Oh, she's over there, isn't she? Right.
You got anything you want to promote before we go, Mark?
It's an interesting time at the moment. Obviously, we haven't got any live events on right now, but I will say, if you go out and check our Twitter page out, Grapple Arcade, we've put a question up on there asking people to suggest celebrities they would like to see take part in a bit like a Survivor Series invasion style event that we're doing. We're doing a podcast with Mr. Stuart Ashen of Ashen's Fame off YouTube. He's coming on to talk about all the things about wrestling that he doesn't know. So that could be quite interesting. So he'll be coming on soon, and we'll be chatting with him. So get yourself onto Twitter at Grapple Arcade and suggest some random personalities from the TV and other outputs to take part in his merry band of chutney ferrets, and we'll see how it goes.
Chutney ferrets.
Yeah.
Lance, do you have many t-shirts left? Or?
I have a few t-shirts left, as always, for my lovely viewers and listeners. If you go to LanceRivera12@bigcartel.com, you'll be able to get yourself one of them t-shirts, and I would act quickly before they are all gone.
Yes. And we've got plenty of interviews coming up in the next couple of weeks. Last week we released interviews with DK Abel and Crash Boast, both doing really well. This Friday, I'll release my interview with Bill Bain. Really fun chat. He's worked a lot with WWE since 2009. He had lots of fun stories to tell. So that'll be out at lunchtime on Friday. And yeah, if you enjoy our show, please follow us on Twitter under our new handle, BBG Wrestling, and check out our website, bbgwrestling.com. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.